This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to this special presentation on the Place to Be Network. I am Scott Criscolo. It is March, and you know what that means. Time to pull out your brackets, even if you don't have a clue, because it's the best part to steal money from people who don't have any idea what they're picking, and usually they're the ones that win. Because upon us right now is the 2013, wow, who won it in 2013? Let me think.
Louisville.
Who's that? Yeah. Whose voice Louisville. Is that? Louisville. Yes. No, this is the 2017 NCAA tournament. The first four going on as we speak. One game left, which should tip off in about half an hour. And then on Thursday, we begin proper. Now, we know that this show is not on the stream very long. However, I want everyone to treat this episode this year as almost like a primer. Have it on pause throughout the duration of the tournament. And every time the matchup comes up, listen to us, see what we think, and see if we're right or not. So I would not say this is a dated show the minute that Notre Dame and Princeton tip off at 12:15 Thursday. I would keep this podcast for the whole duration of the tournament, because you never know if the matchups are correct, how we work it. So I think this is a great primer for all you March Madness junkies for the next 3 weeks as we begin, Buffalo, Salt Lake City, Milwaukee, and Orlando Thursday, Saturday. And then, Friday? Let me think. Friday, they're in, I think, Sacramento. I should have probably
Tulsa.
Looked. Tulsa. Sacramento, Tulsa. Let me introduce these guys before I keep doing this. We know that guy's voice. The Boogie of the Bayou, my friends. He's on the NBA Team Podcast. He's been over on the other feed, the Place to Be Nation, Place to Be Wrestling. He's been on the Main Event. He's been everywhere. Mr. Andrew Reich.
Do you think it's time to retire Boogie the Bayou yet, now that we have a real Boogie in the Bayou?
You're both Boogies. You're both Boogies. Okay. Should I?
Thank you.
You're both Boogies. You're the Boogers of the Bayou. anyway, Reich, always a pleasure, brother. On the other side of the table is one of my favorite people when it comes to sports and wrestling. He's been on Place to Be Nation's Main Event. And, of course, him and I did the campus hot takes during the fall as we coronated Deshaun Watson and the Clemson Tigers as national champions. Clemson sucked this year in basketball, so they're not even in this tournament. Mr. Logan Crosland. Logan, what's going on?
Not too much. How y'all doing?
It's great to have you with us. I don't believe your beloved Bulldogs of Mississippi State are in this tournament, are they?
Nope, not this year.
Nope, not at all. And Reich, your Tigers?
No comment. No comment.
No comment on my team either. joining me as well here in Studio B, he is going to be kind of like the... I don't want to insult him by picking some hump on ESPN, but Tony, whatever. Who's the PTI guy?
Tony Reale.
Tony Reale, but he dresses better. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jason Greenhouse. Greeny, what's going on?
Hey, good evening. My hair isn't as nice as Tony's, but...
low maintenance, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do?
my man Greeny, who is, of course, our social media director here at placemenation.com, he will be filling the brackets out. So anyway, as I was saying, the sites this year, we said Thursday, Buffalo, Milwaukee, Orlando, Salt Lake City. Then on Friday, it was originally supposed to be Greensboro, but then they had that whole toilet problem. So now it's in Greenville, the toilets are plugged in Greensboro. So now it's in Greenville. Maybe the Four Horsemen will reunite again. Indianapolis, Tulsa, and Sacatomato. Maybe the Rock will sing.
Yeah, brand new arena.
Who'd want to go there anyway? And then the regionals are in Kansas City, San Jose, Memphis, and the Garden. I love the regionals.
Yeah,
the
they did now. It in 2014, and that was the one UConn beat Michigan State. It was so much fun.
It was awesome. They don't care about the NIT anymore. Nobody gives a shit. And then, of course, the Final Four this year is Houston? Phoenix. It's at the Toaster.
Phoenix, yeah.
Yeah, it's at the Toaster, University of Phoenix.
Site of WrestleMania 26, yeah.
Correct. And maybe the Final Four will be more exciting than that card was. All right, here we go. All right, gentlemen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go by regions. We'll start in the East. We'll blow through the whole East and then the West. Then we'll take a break, and then we'll do the Midwest and the South, and then we will head to Phoenix, and you gentlemen will pick your national champions. Now, Mr. Reich, Mr. Crosland, if you both agree on a game, then we will move on. If you do not agree on a game, if you split, Greeny will break the tie. If I have any comments, I will comment as well, and see if we can move this in an expeditious manner. I know we have a slightly smaller group than we normally do in the past, but just based on schedules and stuff, this is what we have, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. All right, let us begin. Let's start in the East. We'll begin. I'd like to. I safely say, guys, that I think our defending national champions, the Wildcats of Villanova, should have no problems with Mount St. Mary's. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Reach. Don't just don't invent upsets just so you could talk more. Okay.
Well, let's be serious. Will a 16 ever beat a 1 in your lifetime?
Yes. Not this year.
But not this year.
Not this year, no.
I mean, we've always told the story about Princeton, Georgetown.
Yes, I know the story about Princeton and fucking Georgetown. Please, don't remind me. I don't know the next time they'll be a number one seed, much less in the tournament. So, all right. So we all like Nova moving on. Let's look at the 8-9. Logan, I'll start with you. The Badgers of Wisconsin taking on the Hokies of Virginia Tech. Mr. Buzz Williams, who we thought this was a ridiculous move, leaving Marquette to come here, but he's got his team in the tournament. Who do you like, Wisconsin, Virginia Tech?
I like Virginia Tech. I've been really down on the Big Ten this year, and I just think that Virginia Tech will be able to spread the floor and shoot the three really well, and I think they'll take down Wisconsin.
Okay, so Wisconsin, do you agree, Reish, or do you like the Hokies?
I like Wisconsin. But, you know, I think they'll be able to slow him down. Slow and steady will win the race there. You know, the one thing from the very early games we saw, the first four, is that, man, if Wake Forest is as similar defensively as Virginia Tech is, now Virginia Tech's a much better shooting team than Wake Forest, but if it's kind of an indicator, I mean, Wisconsin and Ethan Happenside might really have a field day offensively against Virginia Tech if they're able to kind of control the tempos. But, you know, I like Buzz Williams, but I got to go with Wisconsin. It's kind of they're a reliable first-round win.
Okay, so we got a split here. We got one for the Hokies, one for the Badgers. Mr. Greenhouse, you break the tie, sir.
Wisconsin's been a threat the past several years in the tournament. I got to take Wisconsin.
All right, so he is picking the Badgers. I think I would have picked the Badgers, too. Only because I like Bo Ryan, even though he retired.
Yeah, as an 8-9, that's always hard.
Yeah, so that's a good matchup. Wisconsin-Villanova, I like that. We'll get to that in a little bit. All right, speaking of Tony Bennett, we were talking about him off mic. The fifth-seeded Cavaliers of Virginia taking on the, are these the Seahawks or the Seawolves, whatever the hell they are?
The Seahawks.
The Seahawks, okay. Of UNC Wilmington against Virginia, who almost made the Final Four that year, Reish, in 2014 at the Garden. They lost the regional semis in a very good game to Michigan State, by the way. Reish, I'll start with you. Virginia or UNC Wilmington?
Virginia this year is definitely not as good as they were in the previous three. I know they floundered in the second round in 2015 when they were like almost undefeated going into one lost team going into the regular season, close to it. And they lost to Michigan State. They lost to Michigan State actually 2 years in a row, including the one you were talking about. They had the choke job against Syracuse in the Elite Eight, which is brutal. No Malcolm Brogdon anymore. But defense, you know, Wilmington is coached by Kevin Keats, who's a hot name. He's a Rick Pitino disciple. They like to speed things up. They actually have more talent than people think. They gave Duke a scare last year in the tournament, but I just think that if Virginia is able to slow them down, kind of like similar to Wisconsin, Virginia Tech, if Virginia is able to slow them down, then I don't think what UNC Wilmington is going to be able to really do too much damage. I think they have a puncher's chance, but I got to stay with Virginia here. It is a 5-12, but I'll take Virginia here.
Okay. Logan?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Virginia, too. I think their defense is just going to be too much for Wilmington to handle. And I think it's one of those games where if Virginia struggles offensively, then Wilmington definitely has a shot.
Yeah, Virginia has to play well. I'll say that.
Yeah, their offense can be helter-skelter sometimes. So,
who's this guy that's the studio host on True TV right now? He looks like Joey Styles.
Casey Stern is his name.
Oh, he's a bum. He looks like
Joey Styles. He does double duty in Atlanta on NBA TV.
Oh, well, he looks like Joey Styles. All right. So, who will Virginia play in the next round? Will it be the Gators of Florida or East Tennessee State 4-13 matchup? Logan, what do you like?
I'm gonna go Florida. I just think they're a lot more talented, and I think they can handle them pretty easily.
Reish, agree?
Yeah, Florida's going to win this one. I don't see East Tennessee State pulling something off like that.
I kind of dig that second-round matchup, Virginia-Florida. Of course, by the way, we're creating our special show bracket, and then we're going to post it at the bottom of the page on when we post it on PlaceMeNation.com, so you can see the see the bracket as it's being made. All right, next one here, we kind of got to go in depth on this because the 12 in this matchup is going on as we – I'm sorry, the 6-11. The 11 is going to tip off shortly down in Dayton between the official team of Place to Be Nation, and that has, of course, the Friars of Providence as they take on the Trojans of USC. This team met a year ago. This matchup was a year ago in the first round. PC won a fantastic basketball game and then proceeded to lose in the second round to North Carolina. Logan, let me ask you this. And the winner of this game Friday will take on the sixth seed, Larry Brown's Mustangs of SMU. Logan, let me ask you this. Does SMU win regardless of who wins tonight, or does it matter who wins tonight for you?
No, I think they win regardless. They're really hot right now, and I don't think Providence or USC are going to be able to stop them.
Okay, so we got an SMU pick there, Reesh. I know how beloved, I know how they're very close to your heart because, you know, if you don't root for Providence, you lose a finger. But does it matter for you who wins, or do you like SMU either way?
It actually does. Like if Providence wins. I mean, this is obviously going to be slightly outdated by the time we get to it, but seriously, if Providence wins, I think they're going to have a ton of trouble against SMU because Providence is not a very good rebounding team. They got to hang their head on defense like they have all year, and I don't think they can really do it. USC, though, is different because USC is really talented with Benny Boatwright and Shemezi Metu. They actually have some size to combat with SMU. SMU's got a lot of versatility because they got a lot of guys that are like between 6'5 and 6'8, but they don't have like true bigs. And, you know, outside of Semi Ojeleye and Shake Milton, who's like a really good guard, they're not like the most talented team. I can actually see USC pulling off the upset, but this is kind of contingent on, you know, who wins that game. I'm kind of going out on a limb because SMU has been red hot. They're 30-4. They won the tourney and the regular season in the American, but SMU's got to prove it to me. You know, they didn't go to the tournament due to probation last year. They lost on a terrible call against UCLA in 2015. You know, I just want to see them actually win a tournament game before I really believe in them. And I think USC is just honestly a really talented team.
All right. Well, I mean, I think PC's going to win tonight. I think they can beat SMU because I've never been impressed with the American Conference, mostly because UConn's in it, and I'm never impressed with them anyway.
Well, you got to look at history. You got to look at history too, because in the first four, the winner of one of those games on the bubble squad, you know, the bottom guys,
the non-16s, right?
Exactly, the non-16. One of them always wins a game in the first round because they're kind of ready. They're more pepped up. We don't know if it's going to be the winner of this game or it's going to be Kansas State who's going to play Cincinnati, you know, in the first round. So, but one of them is going to win based on history.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the winner of whether it's SMU or the Providence USC winner is going to win the next game anyway. So, mm-hmm. On behalf of PlaceMeNation.com, we're going to dump SMU because I'm the host, and I say so. So, Greeny, would you please put the Prov USC winner there? Because I don't think they'll win this next game. Are we all comfortable in saying that third-seeded Baylor should beat New Mexico State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. So we'll move the Bears on. Interesting matchup here. Our good friend Steve Willie and his Golden Eagles of Marquette taking on the Cox. I just had to say that. Of South Carolina. Mr. Frank Martin. Big Frank Martin guy, even though I'm surprised he hasn't had a heart attack yet.
Yeah, don't ever call Frank Martin a cock.
No.
He's a maniac.
He's cock-eyed, but he's not a cock.
I'm surprised. Yeah, and his blood pressure is like 397 over, you know, 212. Logan, who do you like? South Carolina, Marquette?
I like Marquette. South Carolina struggled really bad down the stretch, and I don't think that they have what it takes to beat Marquette in this game.
Okay. Reesh, agree?
A lot of yings and yangs here because Marquette's got the really good offense, a bunch of three-point shooting. South Carolina's the polar opposite. They hang their head on defense. They have one excellent player in Sindarius Thornwell that they almost completely rely on. Defense, like we said, is the name of the game for them. The one thing that's interesting is that this sub-region is in Greenville. So South Carolina, because of the move from Greensboro to Greenville and horrible seeding by the committee, has given the lower seed here, you know, in that sub-regional, because Duke is the top seed, it gives South Carolina home court advantage, basically. So I want to say South Carolina, but I'll just give a shout out to Steve Willey and I'll go with Marquette. You know, I think their offense is just a lot better than South Carolina's defense. And like Logan said, South Carolina's been in a lull.
Yeah, okay. Thornwell's going to have to score a lot of points for.
Yeah, and Dozier. Win. If Dozier doesn't play well, they're screwed.
Yeah. Okay. And are we all comfortable as much as maybe somebody on Troy, like the 12th guy on the bench, will punch Grayson Allen in the face with about a minute to go? Are we comfortable in saying that Duke will beat Troy to move on to the...
Yeah, Duke's lost to Lehigh as a 2, but not this time.
That was awesome. They also lost 2. I think were they a 2 when they lost to Mercer?
No, they were a 3 or 4.
Yeah.
They were a 3.
Okay.
All right, yeah. So here is our second round matchups. That will be played on, I think, are these the games on Friday, Sunday, I think? Let's see. 19th, 8th, yeah. So these are on, okay. So, top seed Villanova against 8th seeded Wisconsin. I kind of dig this matchup. Logan, what do you think? I think Wisconsin could slow Nova down. I just don't think they have a lot, way too much. I think Nova, in the end, the talent will step up. I like them to win this game, but Wisconsin will break their balls for a bit. What do you think?
Yeah, it'll be definitely be an interesting game, but I think Nova will pull it out in the end. They just have the experience and the talent advantage, I believe.
Okay. Reesh?
Yeah, Nova can play a slow style and win. That's kind of the way they play anyway. They got much better three-point shooting, obviously, in Wisconsin. Wisconsin pulled a big upset against Xavier in the second round last year when no one expected it. The only scare that I would give Nova here is that, and their fans, is that Ethan Happ is going to have a field day inside with Darryl Reynolds. If they don't really stymie Happ with some good double teams from their guards and their forwards, then that might be a much more interesting game than people would think for a 1 versus an 8 matchup. But I'll still go with Villanova, even though it might get a little dicey to start.
All right, so the top-seeded Nova Wildcats will move on to the Garden, which I'm sure they'll be very comfortable. Next matchup, I kind of dig this, Virginia and Florida.
First to 60 wins.
Yeah, this one's going to be a slowdown. Reesh?
Virginia. I just like them more than Florida. Just end of story.
Okay. Logan, agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I'll go to Virginia.
Okay. Good matchup at the Garden. All right, so we have the Providence USC game, a winner, taking on Baylor. As much as I'd love to see Providence keep going for my beloved PIC, I think Baylor wins this game. Agree? Disagree?
Baylor's going to go down.
What?
They're not playing well down the stretch. You know, they did not look good in the Big 12 tournament. I think they've lost, like, I think maybe 3 of their last 5 or 6. I love Jonathan Motley, but, boy, their offense can just go into a crawl, especially in the last 5 minutes of games where that's where Scott Drew really gets criticized a lot, that his teams down the stretch of a close game just they cannot function. They cannot close.
Wow.
And if that game is close, I can see it getting away from them, and they don't have the offense to get out of, like, a 10-point or 8-point deficit in the last 10 minutes of a game.
Wow. All right.
They got to step on Providence or USC early to beat them.
Okay. Logan?
Yeah, I agree. No matter which of the three teams faces them, I think Baylor goes down here. They're just not good in the NCAA tournament.
All right. So
They hung their hat on a very good non-conference. They were undefeated in non-conference, but they're not playing nearly as well as they did to start. You know.
Well, yeah, let's hope we're not giving the mush here, but we go with the Friars.
Yeah,
we got
accused of that last year. Remember when everybody was convinced that they might beat North Carolina? We were like, oh no, please don't say that.
I know, and they didn't. And finally, a matchup I actually really like: Marquette and Duke. Logan, is Duke overrated?
Nah, they're incredibly talented. As much as it kills me to say.
Mm. Does Marquette have a chance?
Maybe if they just score an absolutely ridiculous amount of points, but I think Duke's talent will take over.
Okay. Reesh?
I mean, Duke's overrated on certain days. Like, there's days where they're just not clicking, they're not dialing in, and they just play like absolute crap, you know, and then they could lose to anybody, specifically, though, really athletic teams. And that's something that Marquette really does not value. Like, they don't have, that's not like one of their best traits. You know, 3-point shooting is sort of their thing. One of their best shooters is Marcus Howard. He's 5'11". And I like Marcus Howard a lot, but, you know, size isn't really going to, you know, being that short, it's not going to do much good against Duke. It's also Coach K versus Steve Wojciechowski. It's the teacher versus the student. So, I mean, if you go by the storyline there, I just can't see Woj, like, slapping the floor and taking this one away from Duke, you know. Mm. I'd also love to see South Carolina, if they do it, to get here to play Duke, because it would basically be a road game for Duke in the second round. And you'll have North Carolina fans also in that building to watch the Tar Heels, and they're going to be booing the shit out of Duke.
Mm. Right. So, all right. So we will move Duke on to the Garden. All right, so our regional semifinals at the Garden, we begin with Villanova and Virginia. Good matchup. Logan, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Nova. I think this is about the time where the defense moving Virginia on is going to fall away. I think Nova's offense is going to be good enough to get past the great defense that Virginia has.
All right. Reesh, up, down?
Yeah, I agree. We saw this late in the regular season on a special game, and Nova barely beat them. DiVincenzo got a tip in to beat them, but I mean, Virginia's got a good formula to beat Nova. You know, you do have to slow Nova down in order to beat them. That I can agree with that, but I just think Villanova's just got a little bit too much firepower offensively for Virginia to match it.
Mm, okay. And it's going to be very pro Big East in that building. So Virginia is...
Oh, it's going to be electric atmosphere for all three of the games in the Garden.
Yep. And at the bottom, we've got the Providence USC winner taking on Duke. So we could conceivably have two Big East teams in the house. But tall order here. Tall order here. Reesh, what do you think?
Oh, Duke's winning. I mean, but if Duke is dialed in at this point, if they're at the Sweet 16 and they've kind of like worked out the kinks of whatever they had in the first two rounds, they're going to be geared up and ready to kind of swat off whoever they got. I think Duke has had history with both of these schools. They lost to Providence in 97 when they had Godsham. And I think they beat USC in 01 when they had Brian Scalabrine. So like a little bit of history there. I mean, kind of very loosely, but I mean, Duke is just so talented. I mean, I hate to keep falling back on that, but it's true.
All right. And Logan?
Yeah, Duke will win.
Yeah, I hate to say it too. All right, which means our regional final, which I love because Duke's in the belly of the beast. Again, very pro Big East crowd in the house, in the Mecca. We have Villanova and Duke. God, what a basketball game. What a basketball game that will be. Logan, what do you think?
I'm going to go Nova. I like their tournament experience as compared to Duke's, and I just think that they have a little more talent than Duke does, and I think they'll make it to the Final Four.
Okay. Reesh?
It's just going to come down to talent versus discipline. Like, are you going to go with the national champion that brought a lot of pieces back and is, you know, really functions great as a team, or are you going to take the team that won in 2015 that can just slap it together and just play great down the stretch at the, you know, when the time is right? You know, that's kind of what you're looking at here. I mean, Josh Hart and Jason Tatum, you know, that would be a fascinating matchup. You know, Duke's advantage is playing small also, so it's not like Villanova's at a terrible disadvantage with their guards and forwards and their bigs when they play Duke, because Duke has some size in the front court, but they're not. It's not like they're overwhelming in the front court. You know, they're. You know, Grayson Allen's a guy who can kind of disappear at times too, and a good defensive game plan can really make Grayson Allen disappear. You know, especially in a big game like this. I will say this. I mean, Duke travels great everywhere, so they're going to get a good contingency there at the Garden. It's not like they're going to get totally flooded. You know, same with Greenville. But just to make it interesting, I'll go with Duke.
Well, you picking Duke makes doesn't really matter because none of us here like them. So we're going to here's what I think. I think that Villanova is the kind of team that discipline – you mentioned discipline, Reesh, and that's actually a good word, because discipline is the kind of – is the thing that's going to frustrate Nova – frustrate Duke. And that's the kind of team – that could make Grayson Allen lose it. So,
true.
So, and
it's execution versus jackpot.
Logan, what are you doing? Moving boxes out of Starkville? What are you?
Sorry.
It's like you're moving your furniture.
But like I was saying, it's execution versus jackpot. Like Villanova's team is like just, you know, keep at it, keep grinding, keep making your shots. Duke is like, if we get a 5-minute stretch where we can fucking like blast them, we might take them out, you know?
All right, well, we're putting Nova in the Final Four because that's just what we do.
So tremendous matchup.
Yeah, it is going to be a good matchup. But,
yeah, that'll be a great
we
game.
Have the defending. We will take the defending national champions heading to Glendale. All right, we're one bracket in, boys. We're one region in. Let us go down to the West. As much as this curls my toes, we will move number one Gonzaga on. South Dakota State will not beat them.
They almost lost to Southern.
They did, but as Ed Cooley, there he is. Providence mentality. That's what the warm-ups say tonight, so I'm pumped about that. And 6 seasons in PC, and Ed Cooley has won 60% of his games because he's a damn
good coach. And he's lost 100 pounds at the same time.
Yes, and he's a damn good coach, that's why. Andy Enfield, of course, I have no love for him because of what his Dunk City scrubs did to Georgetown a couple years ago. But
he has a hot wife, though.
Yes, he does have a hot wife, actually. All right, let's look at the 8-9 matchup. For the first time in their program's history, the Woo-hoo! Wildcats of Northwestern, which, by the way, guys, begs the trivia question, who is the only Division I school left that has never been to the NCAA tournament?
I know one is the Citadel, and one is Navy, right?
No, Navy's been to the tournament.
Navy has, okay.
Yeah,
the
they made
Citadel,
it with,
when
the Admiral was there. When the Admiral was there, they were in.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, the but there is another another naval, like Armed Forces Academy.
It's not an Armed Forces. I don't think it's an Armed Forces Academy, but it's one of the oldest schools in the country. It
you
is William and Mary.
Oh wow,
yeah.
William and Mary.
You'd think in the Colonial they'd have made at least one.
Well, they almost made it a couple years ago. They were in the conference. Citadel's never made the tournament. Are you sure?
Never. The Citadel has never made.
All right,
the
NCAA so it's two teams then. I thought it was only one. Okay. Anyway, Northwestern is now not on that list anymore, and they will take on Vanderbilt in the 8-9 game. Rish, what do you think?
Vanderbilt has 15 losses. I mean, they're a good team when they play really well and they're making their threes. The one thing that's interesting, and Logan and I can vouch for this because we're SEC guys, they're the only SEC team that actually like hurls three-pointers. They kind of play the small ball, which is kind of different. I guess it's the thing that got them on a roll late in SEC play. They sort of bomb guys. But, I mean, Northwestern's defense is better. You know, Northwestern might get a little wide-eyed here, obviously, for good reason. You know, I wouldn't blame them for kind of playing crappy. But I'll just go with Northwestern getting not only their first appearance, but their first win in the NCAA tournament.
Okay, all right. Do you agree, Logan?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Northwestern, too. Vanderbilt's a little too reliant on the three, and I just feel like it might come back to bite them. So I'm going to pick Northwestern.
All right, so the Wildcats, not only making their first tournament, will win their first game. All right, the first game in the whole, not counting these first four, but the very first game of the whole first round that will tip off tomorrow is the fifth-seeded Fighting Irish of Notre Dame taking on number 12 Princeton. Of course, the Ivy League had their first conference, the first ever conference tournament. They beat Yale on, I think it was Sunday, to get this bid. Usually they're the first team. Isn't that weird? For years, the Ivy was always the first conference to get a bid, to clinch their bid. And this year they were one of the last just because of the tournament. And Providence and USC has just tipped off. Logan, Notre Dame or Princeton?
I'm going to go with Notre Dame. The Ivy League school that's gotten in the past couple of years have been very dangerous, and they've scored an upset like 3 of the last 4 years, I believe. So it should be an interesting game, but I'm going to go with Notre Dame.
Okay. Rish?
Yeah, I don't disagree. Ivy League champs, like Logan says, always tough. You know, they always run pretty good offense. Their defense is better than they think. Notre Dame always struggles in that first round game, even when they're really, really good, but they usually get out of it. You know, it's kind of like the mid-card guy that gives the champ, like in wrestling, like a really good challenge, but you know the champ's going to win. And that's kind of how this is.
All right, so we have the Fighting Irish moving on. All right, we have the 4-seed, Huggy Fat Pants, and the Mountaineers of West Virginia, the only guy I know that has stretchy pants for a suit, taking on the Bison of Bucknell, my ultimate boss, Les Moonves, the CEO of CBS went to Bucknell, so I have to root for the Bison on purpose, or else I live out on the street. Logan, West Virginia or the Bison?
I'm going to go with West Virginia. They're pressed off defense just a little too much for a team like Bucknell to handle. I think they'll get a little culture shock by it.
Okay. Reesh, thumbs up?
Oh, yeah. West Virginia, with the 5-12 in the previous 2 years, have had, well, one was a scare against Buffalo when Bobby Hurley was there, and then they actually lost to Stephen F. Austin. Mm-hmm. But Bucknell doesn't really have the formula here to beat West Virginia as they are constituted. So I'll go West Virginia moving on here. No upset.
Okay. Time now for the sixth seed, Mr. Turgeon and the Terps of Maryland, taking on the Musketeers of Xavier, another team that probably came in at the last minute. Logan, what do you think?
I'm going to go Maryland. I think the loss of Sumner for Xavier just put them in a bad situation to end the season, and I just don't think that they have what it takes to get out of this first round.
Okay, Reesh?
Yeah, the only way this will work for Xavier is that, you know, they had that little bit of a run in the Big East tournament where they played way better than they had the previous 2 weeks. And maybe that sort of Ewing theory, like Bill Simmons always says, where, you know, you sort of find your way after your best player's gone. But, I mean, I trust Melo Trimble. Like, I know he's not a super reliable player for the majority of the game, but in crunch time, if that game is close, like, Maryland's going to take it. So I'll just go with Maryland.
Okay, so the Terps moving on. Let's see who they'll play. They will take on either Mr. Leonard Hamilton and his Seminoles of Florida State, or Dunk City and Florida Gulf Coast. So a Sunshine State war here.
In Orlando.
Are we comfortable in saying the Noles here, Reesh?
Yeah, I'm okay with the Noles. I know that Florida Gulf Coast has been credited with being like one of the more athletic mid-majors, but have you seen Florida State's size and their like overall wingspan? They're fucking enormous. Like,
big dudes.
I don't know if, yeah, Florida Gulf Coast won't even be able to get around them, you know, to be honest.
Mm, okay. Logan, agree?
Yeah, I'll pick the Noles.
All right, so Florida State moves on. And the final two of this region, the Gales of St. Mary's. Better than that other team whose nickname is Gales. Taking on VCU. Logan, what do you think?
I'm going to go VCU. I think their defense is just a little... We'll throw St. Mary's off the rhythm, and I just think that VCU has what it takes to make it to the second round.
Okay. Reesh?
I like St. Mary's. Like, I don't think they're, like, super great. Now, they've only lost to two teams all year. They lost to Texas, Arlington, and they lost to Gonzaga three times. Now, they haven't played all the best players, all the best teams that they could schedule, but they beat who was in front of them. Not a big team, play good defense, but they play really, really slow. VCU, obviously, still even with Shaka Smart not being there anymore, they still want to try to speed you up. I feel like SMC, which is St. Mary's, they'll be able to kind of slow things down a little bit more easier, and they'll be able to get some wins. But VCU always plays well in these first-round games.
Mm. All right, so Greeny, we haven't had to go to you for a lot so far, but your second tiebreaker, what do you think? The Gales or the fuck is VCU's nickname?
Rams.
The Rams.
The Rams or the Gales?
I was thinking about using this as the Matt Rotella shock wall alert, but I think that St. Mary's will hang on here.
All right, so we go with the Gales to move on to the second round. And finally, I think we're comfortable. As much as I love the Fighting Sioux, and I hope nobody gets offended, of North Dakota, I think Sean Miller's Wildcats of Arizona move on.
This is classic squash right here, yeah.
They just showed the audience, incidentally, if anybody's watching, well, obviously you wouldn't be because if you're listening to this, the game's over. But right now USC's out to a quick 7-0 lead on the Friars. But they just showed two probably of the greatest USC alums in the history of Southern Cal athletics. They're actually sitting next to each other.
Matt Leiner and Reggie Bush?
No, legal. They don't exist. Remember, that got the greatest moment of my life as a sports fan is when they were wiped from history.
That was a damn.
They never went there. And I don't think Leiner never went to class anyway. Reggie Bush probably didn't either. Or Glendale White for that matter.
Glendale White didn't go. I don't think I don't think Mike Williams went to school.
I seriously doubt. I seriously doubt.
I don't think Ray Malalaga went to school.
No. Big Carol didn't believe in that shit. Anyway. They just showed two of the greatest USC athletes ever. Lynn Swann, who was actually their athletic director. Why do they keep doing that? They failed with Pat Hayden. They failed with Mike Garrett. Why do they keep thinking that, like, actual ex-athletes are good at running athletic programs? I mean, can't they just...
The same reason the Lakers hired Magic Johnson. Well, you need a good face in the room.
Yeah, even though probably none of them know what the hell they're doing. And next to him, of course, probably one, easily one of the greatest, if not the greatest, offensive linemen of all time, and that is Mr. Anthony Munoz, was in the audience sitting next to Lynn Swann.
Yeah.
As their Trojans are out to an early 5-point lead. All right, let's head to the second round matchups now. We have Gonzaga and Northwestern, Logan.
I'll go Gonzaga.
Agree, Reese?
Gonzaga is way too big for Northwestern. Way too big.
Yeah.
So Gonzaga moves on. I love this matchup. Notre Dame and West Virginia, Reese.
Oh, Notre Dame with the upset. West Virginia fouls too much, and because that's the name of their game. They like to get the steals. They lead the country like by a country mile in steals. But the problem is, by doing that, you're always going to get fouled. You're always in the bonus because of the way the halves work. And the thing is, with Notre Dame, they're number one. And I don't mean number one among power conferences. They are number one in the country among all 351 teams in free throw percentage. If you foul them a lot, they're going to make it. They're also really disciplined. There's that word again. With if you try to get them out of a press and they can make some nice, good touch passes. Matt Farrell's a smart guy. I like West Virginia as a team more than I did last year, but I think Notre Dame's just got the recipe to beat them.
Okay. Logan?
Yeah, Notre Dame's also number one in the country in turnover rate, which means that they don't turn the ball over at all, pretty much. So I'm going to go Notre Dame.
Mike Bray's got to win a big one eventually. We're getting there. All right, bottom of this bracket, we have a battle of one ACC team against a former ACC team, Maryland and Florida State. Not a bad football game, actually. Logan?
I'll go Florida State. Okay. I don't really like either of these teams, but I'll pick Florida State.
it's hard to like Leonard Hamilton, man, you know. I'll go the other way with Maryland because, like I was saying with Melo Trimble, like, if the game is close, they're going to find a way to take that win. That's just their MO. That's what they do. You know, their luck Pythagorean, whatever they call it on KenPom, is like always ridiculously high because for some reason they just got that karma down the stretch. And I always have trouble trusting Leonard Hamilton. Like, I haven't seen it out of him. It's like SMU. I need to see it first. So I'll go with Maryland winning the game.
All right, Greeny, tiebreaker here. Terps or Seminoles?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Reese here. Maryland with the mild upset.
All right, so the Terps, we have the Terps moving on to the regionals. And finally, I kind of like this matchup. Arizona and St. Mary's. I would not bail Sean Miller out just yet. I could see St. Mary's giving them a good game because, you know, Arizona's notorious for second-round stinkers. They're also notorious for first-round stinkers. But talent may win out here. What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I think talent went out. I think Arizona will win this one pretty easily.
Okay. Reese?
Yeah, this is the one situation where St. Mary's is going to play a team where they're just literally overwhelmed on the court. So I'll take Arizona here.
Okay, so we go to the regionals, which, what did I say? They're at the pond, I think I said? Or San Jose, something like that.
They're in San Jose, California.
Oh, yeah. they're at the Shark Tank. All right, so we have Gonzaga and Notre Dame. Ooh.
That's a good one.
Good matchup. You have a lot of size against a team that does not make mistakes and can bury. I mean, they could score a third of their points at the free throw line if they try hard enough.
Pretty much.
Reese, what do you think?
This is the first red alert to me for Gonzaga where it's like, okay, they could actually lose this game, you know, where it's like, oh, the magical season for Mark Few might be at an end. But ooh, it's hard. You know, Bonzi Colson, he's 6'5", but he don't play like it. Like, he's a guy that you can muscle you in. But Karnowski, you got Jonathan Williams. Who matches up with Williams? BJ Beecham at small forward? If you do that, who matches up with Nigel Williams-Goss? Matt Farrell? You know, you got a lot of matchup problems for, you know, if you're Notre Dame. Kind of like similar to what happened to Notre Dame down the stretch when they played Duke, where the matchups really started to kill them because they had Steve Vastoria guarding Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum just ate his lunch. I could definitely see Few figuring out some mismatches where Notre Dame is just going to be at a big disadvantage for the majority of the game. And if Gonzaga just kind of stays the course, they'll be able to just trot out points down the stretch. So I'll go with Gonzaga, but it's going to be a really interesting game.
Okay. Logan?
Yeah, I could definitely see Notre Dame winning this game, but I think the size advantage will prove to be good for Gonzaga, and I think Gonzaga will move on.
Yeah, I kind of want to pick Notre Dame because, you know, Gonzaga, you know, Notre Dame isn't San Francisco or Portland or Pepperdine, but you know, they do have a lot of talent. So
Notre Dame winning would not be a stunner at all.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. All right, at the bottom, Reesh, Maryland and Arizona. That's actually a pretty good game. That's a tremendous game, actually.
This is exit stage right usually for Maryland, so I'll just go with Arizona here. You know, I don't really have too much of the comparison. I mean, Maryland's got a lot of good guards, but their athleticism leaves a lot to be desired. They don't really have a lot of like great elite size. I can see Lauri Markkanen for Arizona really having his way with Damontae Dodd. I'll go with Arizona.
Okay, Logan?
Yeah, I'll go Arizona.
Okay, so our regional final. The top two seeds have made it to the end. Number one, Gonzaga. Number two, Arizona. Great football. I keep wanting to say great football game, but Gonzaga doesn't have football. Logan, who is going to Phoenix?
I'm going to go with Arizona. They played earlier in the year, and Gonzaga beat them by 7 in the Staples Center. But Arizona didn't have Alonzo Trier in that game, and I think having him in this game might prove to be the difference, but... I think Arizona make us the Final Four.
Okay. Reesh?
I think Gonzaga breaks the glass ceiling. I think they'll get through it. I know that Alonzo, first of all, I want to change his name to Alonzo Trier back, because every time we talk about it, it's like, well, they got Alonzo Trier back, and it's like, no, his name is Alonzo Trier. Because every time they talk about it, they talk about how he's back, and it's like, well, he's been back for like a month now, and Arizona's really good, but they're, you know, they still kind of leave a little bit to be desired when you watch them. They're not blow away great like Duke can be sometimes, like Villanova can be sometimes, but man, it's interesting because you know Gonzaga has been in the Elite Eight before. They lost that awesome Duke team in 2015, but you know, you want to see what Gonzaga can really do if the lights get really, really bright and you're going to be out there in California. Man, I'll go with Gonzaga to break that glass ceiling.
All right. Well, a tiebreaker. This is a big moment for you, Greeny. We have the Bulldogs and the Wildcats. Who is going to Phoenix?
Yeah, I really want to see Arizona and Villanova in the Final Four. That's what I have in a few other of my brackets, and that's how I think we're going to go here. Arizona.
All right. So suck it, Mark Few. All right,
Arizona would be in their backyard, basically, in Glendale.
Yeah, it's pretty much home games. I think that's what Sean Miller is shooting for.
And they ain't a first. Like, Michigan State did it in 2009, and Butler did it in 2010. It ain't a first.
No, not at all. Not at all. All right, guys, great job so far. We have our East and our West region set. So on one side of the bracket, our national semifinal is Villanova and Arizona, which I think is a fantastic basketball game. Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll go to the other side. We'll talk the Midwest and the South. And we still have to talk about Kansas, Carolina, our MAC participant, the Gales of Iona. Two Gales in the NCAA tournament. How about that, huh? All right. Scott Criscolo, Logan Crosland, Andrew Reesh, Jason Greenhouse. We are picking the 2017 NCAA tournament. One half is done. Half number two when we return.
Because.
I'm impressed.
Placement Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlacementNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Placement Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit clotheslines and headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Placement Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to the 2017 NCAA Tournament Preview. We have already picked the East and West, and we have Villanova and Arizona moving on to University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, otherwise known as the Toaster. And PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. The WrestleMania Listomania continues, and up right now it is Day 16, Best Musical Performances. All of them Motorhead.
Is no. Kid Rock last?
Kid Rock is not on here at all. Actually, honestly, number one is Mean Gene doing Tutti Frutti, and then the rest are just shit. No, I'm only kidding. If you've seen the first 15 days of lists, they've all been fantastic. They've all generated a boatload, as Greeny and I could attest to firsthand, a boatload of debate everywhere. So check it out. Day 16 at the moment, best musical performances. The newest installment of the excellent WWE Network adventure, the July 19th, 1985 episode of TNT. We're finally almost out of the TNT screen, thank God for that. So keep paying attention to that. It's a fantastic column we do every week. Glennie Butler, Glennie Bunn with his Wednesday walk around the web, as he always is. And, of course, his usual myriad of topics. By the way, day 15 of the Listomania, WrestleMania outfits. Of course, they're all Triple H. Mr. Bayless has your Raw rundown. And don't forget episode 441 of the Place B podcast. JR and I, the October 21st, 1985 MSG house show. So check that out as well. On the right side of the screen, you can see the link to all the PTBN publications, all of the ebooks that JR and I have done. Click on the link for Amazon, or you can type placebnation.com/Amazon. Buy whatever you'd like. We get a little piece back to help run the site. Check out a myriad of the great podcasts here on PlaceToBeNation.com, including, sadly, the show is over, but the great 77-episode catalog of the Titans of Wrestling, which is a tremendous show, as is all of our great podcasts. So check it out. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, guys, let us go to the Midwest region, and we'll begin with a team that I really wish would win every year, and Bill Self should probably have more national championships. He does not. They are taking on, looks like it'll be UC Davis, who beat NC Central earlier this evening. Guys, I seriously doubt Kansas loses.
No.
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 Logan? No. All right, so the Jayhawks move on. The 8-9, interesting matchup here. The Hurricanes of Miami taking on Tom Izzo's Michigan State Spartans. Regardless of where they're seated, Michigan State is always a team you got to be dangerous with. And, of course, last year they lost to the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State in the first round in, Denzel Valentine's last game as a college player.
The most stunning upset I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, they played bad in that game. They really did.
Yeah, their defense was disgustingly bad.
It was terribly bad.
I had them going all the way in my bracket.
Like, oh!
I had them beating North Carolina for the national championship.
Oh.
And I still almost won in my group.
Logan, who will play Kansas in the second round, Miami or Michigan State?
I'm going to go with Miami. I've seen them play a few times, and I think they're incredibly talented, and I think they're just a little too much to handle for Michigan State. Michigan State's really young, so I think the experience advantage of it at Miami, and I think they'll win.
And, of course, Jim Larrañaga, a PC alum. Reesh, agree, disagree?
I actually will go ahead and go with, you know, the old Izzo reliable there. The funny thing is that when you look at Michigan State and Miami, just looking at the matchup, you would automatically think Michigan State's a defensive, like, rebounding type of team, and Miami is the fast, like, offensive type of team. But it's actually the opposite. Miami kind of hangs their head on defense, and Michigan State's offense is better than their defense. They're really young. They're relying a ton on Miles Bridges and Nick Ward and Cassius Winston. But I'll go with Michigan State pushing through to at least win this one against Miami. Miami's a pretty solid team, but I don't like their offense.
Okay, so we got to break a tie here. Mr. Greenhouse, the ball's in your court, sir. Spartans or Hurricanes?
You know, Bill Izzo, to me, is like the Tony La Russa of NCAA basketball, where no matter how bad or good they do in the regular season, come postseason time, he's always going to be a threat. Michigan State with a mild upset here.
All right.
So is his brother, Tom Izzo.
Yes. Yeah, you said Bill. I just realized you said Bill Izzo. That's right. That's right. I like Bill Izzo, actually. Doesn't he coach? I think he coaches Pontchartrain High School. I don't know.
It's like Kurt Angle's Eric.
It's like, yeah, Kurt Angle, yeah. Yes, he's coaching with a hood.
That's who coaches against Middle Tennessee State. It was Bill Izzo.
Yes. Yes. All right, so Spartans move on. All right, our 5-12 matchup hits the Big 12 champion, Cyclones of Iowa State, who only won the tournament because TCU beat Kansas, taking on the 12 seed, the Wolfpack of not NC State, but of Nevada, Colin Kaepernick's alma mater. Reesh, who do you like?
Nevada is actually pretty good. Eric Musselman's the coach, and Mark. They have a transfer guard named Marcus Marshall. They had this one game, I mean, I'll just tell people to watch on YouTube, that they played New Mexico, and they were down about 20 with 3 minutes to go, and somehow tied the game because Marshall went nuts shooting threes. They have an NBA athlete in Cam Oliver. They have another guy named Jordan Caroline, who's a good big man. The thing with Iowa State is just with Monty Morris as the point guard, they just never turn the ball over. You know, so if Nevada can't turn over Iowa State, I just don't know how they're going to be able to get an advantage any other way, because Iowa State's offense is so good too. So Iowa State will win here, but man, Nevada, don't overlook them.
All right, Logan?
Yeah, this could definitely be upset, but I'll go with Iowa State, too. I think they're just on a pretty good streak right now, and I think they'll keep going.
All right, so going with Fred Hoiberg's Cyclones here as they take on, we all like them to defeat Nevada. Another possible upset in the making, the fourth-seeded Boilermakers of Purdue. I've never been the biggest Matt Painter fan. Taking on the Catamounts of Vermont. I love their hockey team. And, of course, we all know what Tyler Coppenrath did to Syracuse many moons ago. Logan, who do you like here?
I'll go with Purdoe. Vermont went undefeated in conference play, and they obviously got through their conference tournament and made it to the NCAA tournament. So they are playing very well in the last 2 or 3 months, but I think Purdue's size is a little too much for them to handle.
And after PC fell behind 7-0, they have a 1-point lead right now with 7.5 to go in the first half, 21-20. Reesh?
I was chuckling deviously as you spoke, because I just think Matt Painter's a terrible coach. I mean, I have to get on my soapbox and say this and be the troll of the tournament, but I just don't trust Matt Painter. You look at Purdue when they played Kansas in 2012 and they choked that lead. They played Cincinnati in 2015 and they choked that game away in overtime. They did one of the most epic choke jobs ever against Arkansas Little Rock last year when they had, by all rights, should have beaten them. I like Caleb Swanigan a lot. They kind of play like a big boy version of what Vermont did to the America East opponents that they played against. So in terms of styles, they're very similar, but Purdue's a much better team in terms of assists and three-point shooting. But I'm going to go with the upset here just because I do not trust Matt Painter. He will fuck this up somehow.
Okay, so we got a split. Greeny, bad ball back in your court. Do you like the upset or does Purdue move on?
Yeah, here's our first round shock wall. We're going to be eating some Ben and Jerry's with some maple syrup on top in the second round. We're taking Vermont.
Those hippie fucks. All right, so Vermont moves on to the second round. All right, back to the Big East for this next. Oh, Big East versus A-10. We've got the Blue Jays of Creighton taking on the Rams of Rhode Island. So both two big D1 teams from the state of Rhode Island. One's playing right now. The other is playing. Will be playing in a couple of days. Rish, Creighton or URI?
If you look at Vegas, a lot of hot money is getting thrown on Rhode Island because they finished strong. They actually had a loss, like a horrible loss to Fordham. But ever since that loss, like in late February, they've just gone on a tear. Like they destroyed everyone they played in the A-10 tournament. They have a really good big man named Hassan Martin. He's literally like, if you watch him, he's just strong. He's like Jalen Reynolds. You remember Jalen Reynolds for Xavier last year? Mm-hmm. He's just like he's just stronger than everybody else. Doesn't mean he's like the best player, but he's a matchup nightmare depending on how big your center is in college. But Creighton's got Justin Patton, he's a redshirt freshman. He's probably going to be an NBA prospect. I don't know if he'll stick around for his sophomore year or his third year sophomore year. But, you know, this was hard as a 6-11 matchup. You know, Creighton, ever since Mo Watson went down, you realize something's missing and you know what it is. They could have been better. They're a great shooting team. Rhode Island is a little bit better defensively than they are offensively, but they have a good guard in E.C. Matthews, while Creighton is just cratered at the point guard spot since Watson went down. I'll go with Creighton.
Okay. Logan?
Yeah, I think Creighton's a little like Xavier, and the injury to their probably best player is just going to be too much for them to overcome, and I think Rhode Island will win.
Okay. Wow, Greeny, getting a lot of work on this side of the bracket. What do you like?
Yeah, another upset here. I'm taking Rhode Island as well.
All right, go Rams.
Adam Murray.
That's right. He sucks. No.
Not only that, he'll never cheer for him because he's an atheist. He's a basketball atheist. Even though he's a co-host with me on an NBA show.
And he chases. And
no,
he chases.
No, what I'm saying is that he never cheers for Rhode Island. He's just like, oh yay. It's like, dude, that's your school. He's like, yeah, I know.
And he chases kids around the block. All right. Next up, we've got the Ducks of Oregon taking on beloved Armento's Gales of Iona. Logan, what do you think?
I'll go Oregon on this one.
Who wouldn't? Reese?
Oregon big.
Yeah. Iona has no business being here, but that's only because
they can't play defense.
They only made it because Monmouth blew it again. Is King Rice really that bad of a big coach?
No, I just think the MAAC is better than people think.
I've watched plenty of... It's the MAC. Nobody spells it.
It's not the MAC. It's the MAC.
It's the MAC.
It's the MAC.
We're the snobs up here in the metro area.
The Mid-American Conference is the MAC.
The MAC.
You should get Noam Dar to be the announcer for the tournament. The MAC tournament. So you'd be like, the MAC.
The MAC. Oh, God. Now even Eric Swan thinks he's got creative license to say fucks. Tells you how much Vince thinks about 205 Live. Anyway, the wrong podcast. All right, next up, the team that won the Big Ten tournament playing with mostly practice jerseys, the Wolverines of Michigan, they are taking on the Cowboys of Oklahoma State in a 7-10 matchup. Logan, what do you think?
This game's going to have a lot of offense and not very much defense, but I'll go with the Wolverines to keep their streak going.
Okay, Reesh?
I'll go in Michigan here. You know, the story there is the plane scare that they had where they slid off the runway before the Big Ten tournament. Then they go to the Big Ten tournament, got to play in their practice uniforms in the first game. They blow out, I think, Illinois. And then they win out in the rest of the Big Ten tournament to win it. So they're kind of hot. They were also winning a good number of games going into the tournament. So it's not like they just like got hot in the tournament. They've been playing well. Zach Irvin's playing pretty well. Derek Walton's playing well. Oklahoma State's got a really good player in Juwan Evans, who can match up with Walton. They have another good forward named Jeffrey Carroll. It's probably going to be my favorite of the first round matchups that I see style wise, because even though they're both really good offenses, Michigan plays a lot slower. So I like to kind of go with the slower paced teams because they seem to be able to control the atmosphere of the game, the momentum. So I'll go with Michigan here and take advantage of Oklahoma State's turnovers.
Okay. Do you agree, Logan?
Yeah, I already said
that. Oh, you did say that's right. Okay, my bad. All right, so Michigan moves on. All right, next matchup. We've got The two seed, Louisville. Do we have them losing to Jack? Do we have them beating Jacksonville State comfortably?
No way. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to beat them big. Yeah.
Logan. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
big time.
So Rick Pitino's guys move on. All right. Let's go back to the top second round matchups. We've got Ooh boy. Oh boy.
Here's your woe boy of the.
Here's your woe boy. Kansas round, yeah. And Michigan State. Bill Self and I don't know how many Izzos. As PC is, I think they scored, I think they're on like a 12-0 run. PC has jumped out to a 10-point lead.
Right now they're up 7 with about 6 to go, huh?
Well, your phone's really slow. It's now 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it's 10. I just saw the 3, yeah.
It's because down where you live, the Wi-Fi is held together by duct tape.
It's
so.
Providence shooting threes. It's a Christmas miracle.
It is. It actually is. All right, yeah. Logan, you first. Bill Self, Tom Izzo, second round, baby. What do you like?
I'll go Kansas. I think they just have the talent advantage, and I think they're a lot more experienced, so I think they'll take it.
Okay. All right. Quick, succinct. Reish, who's not?
Yeah, I still like Kansas. Michigan State's – this is like when Ohio State had D'Angelo Russell, and they were really young, and they played Arizona. And everyone was like, oh, watch out, it's Ohio State. And it's like, yeah, but they're not the Ohio State they were the years before that, and that's kind of same here. Michigan State by name, you know, nice little matchup, but no, Kansas is going to take that one. You know, Kansas is not a deep team, but Michigan State, like, they're a MASH unit right now.
Okay, so Kansas to the regionals. Iowa State and Vermont. Reish.
Iowa State. You know, we were supposed to get Iowa State-Purdue last year, and Little Rock ruined that, and Iowa State feasted on Little Rock to get to the regionals, and I kind of see the same thing here.
Okay. Logan?
Yeah, I would have picked Iowa State, whether Purdue or Vermont were in this game, but, I think Iowa State's better than both of those teams.
Okay. And at the bottom, URI and Oregon meeting in the second round. Logan?
I'll go Oregon. I think their offense is a little too much for Rhode Island to be able to handle with.
Okay. Reish?
Yeah, I like Oregon here. URI's got some athleticism, but Oregon's versatility is just way too much for Rhode Island here.
Okay, and joining, let's see who will join them in the regionals. We got a rematch of the national championship from a few years ago, Michigan and Louisville. Reish.
Pitino never fails in sub-regionals. He always gets to the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm. I concur.
Period, and usually, end of story.
And usually he steps on your throat at the same time.
Yeah.
Logan?
Yeah, Louisville's defense is a little too much for Michigan, and I think they'll advance.
All right, so Kansas against Iowa State. In a Ooh. Battle of the team that won the Big 12 tournament against the team that, if they didn't play a bad game, probably would have won the Big 12 tournament. Reish?
It's Kansas versus a Big 12 team. What do you think is going to happen?
Exactly.
there
Logan?
You go.
I want to pick Iowa State really bad right now, but I'll go
this
Kansas.
This is also in Kansas City where they played the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, my ass is a bad juju.
Exactly. So we like the Jayhawks to move to the regional final. And will they play Oregon or Louisville, Logan?
Louisville.
Reish?
Yeah. I mean, the loss of Chris Boucher some people are downplaying it like it's not that bad. It's like, no, it is that bad. Chris Boucher was like their best three-point shooter, and he's one of their best shot blockers. I mean, if you don't have the big boys and you don't have the athleticism to match with Louisville's guys like Dang Adel and Mango Mathiang and Jalen Johnson, all the size that they have, you know, if Donovan Mitchell has a good shooting night, I mean, Oregon's going to be in huge trouble, so I'll take Louisville here.
All right, so our regional final is a pretty damn good matchup as the top two seeds make it to the end. Reish, Kansas or Louisville, who heads to the toaster?
Louisville. I mean, Kansas has got some guys like Frank Mason, who's also called Bitch on Frank Mason, if you follow Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got Devontae Graham. They have this ability to just kind of come back from, you know, like, it seems like ridiculous deficits in Big 12 play. Josh Jackson is a dude. He'll be the best player on the court, probably, but I just... You know, when it comes to Pitino, it's not like he's immune to a loss in the Elite Eight of the Sweet 16. He's done it a million times, but I trust him. I trust him more than the other guys.
Okay. Logan?
I'm going to go the other way. I'll go Kansas. I think Mason and Graham's talent will just overpower Louisville's defense, and I think they'll make it to the Final Four.
All right. Greeny, you are
the... That's the biggest advantage. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's all right.
That's the biggest advantage for. That's the biggest advantage for Kansas. Their backcourt's way better than Louisville's.
All right, Greeny, break the tie, brother. Who's going to the toaster?
Along with Arizona, I'm going to take our second number two seed into the Final Four, and that's going to be the Louisville Cardinals.
Wow. All right. Bill Self, empty, left at the altar again.
You think Katina Powell's going to be invited to the stadium?
No.
Well, you don't have to invite him. You just have to, like, do it under the table.
All right, boys. So far, we are three quarters through. We have Arizona, Villanova, and Louisville heading to the toaster for the Final Four. One bracket remains. I think it's pretty safe to say that our top seed in the South, the Tar Heels of North Carolina, will comfortably take out Texas Southern, so we're going to move the Tar Heels on.
Mike Davis,
he plays for the Israel team in the World Baseball Classic.
Mike Davis for Indiana coaches.
Oh, Mike Davis. I said what? I said Ike Davis.
Ike Davis.
We love Ike Davis. We like Ike. All right.
I like Ike Taylor, you know, for the who used to play with the Steelers.
Nobody likes the Steelers. All right. The 8-9 matchup, Logan. The Razorbacks of Arkansas taking on another team from the Big East. The Pirates of Seton Hall, who somehow have made it to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row, and nobody still likes Kevin Willard. Logan, who do you like?
I'm going to go with Seton Hall. As much as Arkansas had a streak through the SEC tournament, I just don't think the SEC was very good this year. So, and I think the Big East was really good, so I'm going to go Seton Hall.
All right, Reesh, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Arkansas. Like, when they're good, they're really good, but they rely a lot on being able to make the shots. And they get that 40 minutes of hell type of reputation because of Nolan Richardson and Mike Anderson being, like, a longtime assistant to Nolan. But they don't play as quickly as you think. And Seton Hall, I think, overall is just more talented. It really comes down to that matchup between in foul trouble between Moses Kingsley and Angel Delgado or is it Angel Delgado? I can never remember.
I don't remember either.
Delgado, yeah, but Delgado's a beast. He's a double-double machine. I think he's the top rebounder in the tournament at 13 rebounds a game. I know they belly flopped against Gonzaga, but Gonzaga was pretty good. I'll go with Seton Hall here, but it'll be a tight game.
Okay. All right, the 5-12 matchup, the team, as I mentioned a year ago, that stunned Denzel Valentine's Spartans, the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee, taking on Mr. Pitino's kid, Richard Pitino, and a team that I actually watched a lot this year, the Golden Gophers of Minnesota. Reesh, what do you like here?
I think Middle Tennessee just straight up is a better team than Minnesota. And I'm not trying to disparage Richard Pitino's team. He's done a hell of a job with them. I just don't think they're a 5 seed. I think this is just like a seeding issue. Middle Tennessee State is coached by Kermit Davis. They're the team that pulled off the upset against Denzel Valentine. And let me put it this way. It's almost the same team as that one, but they added Ja'Cory Williams, a transfer from Arkansas, who won the Conference Player of the Year. So they added the Conference Player of the Year to a team that already won an NCAA tournament game. It's kind of like, you remember when Siena beat Vanderbilt in 08, and then the next year they were like better, and they beat Ohio State, and they won another first-round game. It's like, I feel the same way here with Middle Tennessee State. Like, if they win, it wouldn't even surprise me.
Okay, Logan?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Middle Tennessee State, too.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, they just manhandled Michigan State last year, and I think this team might even be better than that team, and I don't think Minnesota's better or even much better, if they are, than Middle Tennessee is, and I think just Reggie Upshaw and Giddy Potts will lead the Blue Raiders to another first-round victory.
Okay. Minnesota also lost a key guy, Akeem Springs, to an Achilles injury. So.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Already hobbled.
I actually watched the game and he got hurt. Yeah. All right, back to the Big East we go. The 4 seed, that is the Bulldogs of Butler taking on Winthrop. Well, it's a pretty cool logo. Looks like the Atlanta Hawks. Logan, what do you think?
I'll go Butler here. I actually watched one of Winthrop's conference tournament games, and they have a point guard named Keon Johnson, I think his name is. He's a really good player, and if a Butler lets him go off, this game might be a little more dangerous than people think, but I'll go Butler.
Okay. Reesh?
Butler's kind of a he's kind of like Wisconsin, sort of a reliable one in the first round. So I'll go with Butler with an easy win. You know, the last couple, I think they've had to play at large teams from bigger conferences in order to move into the second round. It's kind of interesting to see Butler having to beat a team that's on the lower level like this in order to get through. But they're good enough to beat these teams. I think Butler is sort of underrated in terms of how good they are. So. Mm.
PC up 15 with 90 seconds left in the half. USC
has their passing has been ridiculously good.
It has been, and USC has missed 11 of their last 13 shots. All right, back to the American. And let's see, is this a 6-11 here that's pretty good? Cincinnati, the 6 seed, taking on the 11 Kansas State, who won the play-in over Wake the other night. Reesh, what do you think?
I sound like a hypocrite because I kind of buried SMU, who was in the same conference as Cincinnati. They were almost on the exact same level, but man, I really like the Cincinnati team. Like Kansas State, I mean, we have like the hindsight of seeing that game in the first four. Kansas State kind of went to town on Wake Forest offensively. That was like the best field goal percentage game they had the entire season, Kansas State did. But man, Cincinnati's defense is really, really good. Their offense has always been decrepit, but this year they're respectable. I wouldn't call them like they're not decrepit, you know. So they have a little bit of firepower on both sides to match up with some of the really good teams. And against lesser teams like Kansas State, I mean, I think Cincinnati will go to town on them.
Okay, Logan.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati also because of the defense.
All right, so the Bearcats move on. They will take on a big time tournament favorite, the Bruins of UCLA, as they take on Kent State in a 3-14. Are we comfortable with UCLA, guys?
Yeah. I'll say that.
Okay. Logan?
Yeah, make that.
All right. So the Bruins move on. They will take on, good matchup here, the 7-10, the Flyers of Dayton, whose floor is being used, taking on the Shockas of Wichita State. Back in the tournament, Mr. Marshall. Logan, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Wichita State. I think they're really underseeded, and I think they're much better than the seeding they got says.
All right, so the 10th-seeded Shockers move on, according to Logan. Reese, you agree?
Yeah, how good is the bottom of the South region? It's, like, ridiculous. Like, you got the A-10 champion versus a four-loss Missouri Valley champion and a team that has had great pedigree in the tournament, and that's a 7-10. Like, the winner of that is probably playing Kentucky, so it's like, oh my god, you know. I'll go with Wichita State there. They're a pretty reliable team in these early games. Greg Marshall's really good at just not letting his team belly flop, like have a bad game. They're always ready. Even when they lose, they lose admirably. So I'll go with Wichita State.
Okay, and I think we're all good. Kentucky will beat their in-state rivals, North Kentucky.
Rivals. their team name is the Norse. That's interesting.
That is very cool. Yeah. All right, let's go through the second round matchups. North Carolina and Seton Hall. I'm not a big Kevin Willard fan, but I always root for the Big East, but I don't know if they have a chance here. Logan?
Yeah, I'll go North Carolina. They're just way more talented than Seton Hall is.
Reesh.
Yeah, Carrington and Desi Rodriguez would literally have to have the games of their careers. Yep. That's the only way they could win.
Okay, and Middle Tennessee State taking on Butler. Reesh.
Middle Tennessee State. They keep riding it.
Wow, okay. Logan?
I'll go Middle Tennessee, too.
Wow. All right. Interesting.
Butler's good. I think they're underrated. But, you know, like he was talking about Giddy Potts and Reggie Upshaw, and I was talking about Williams. Like, that, you know, all three of those guys, they rely a lot on those three. That's the biggest bugaboo for Middle Tennessee State. But, you know, I think Butler defensively is just going to have a lot of trouble stymieing them because Middle Tennessee's guys are strong. Like Upshaw is strong and Williams is athletic. I mean, Kamar Baldwin and Keelan Martin, they cannot have a bad shooting day. That's going to be the key, because sometimes they get into a real funk shooting-wise.
Cincinnati taking on the Bruins of UCLA, Reesh.
Ooh. I mean, the problem with UCLA is that, you know, the thing that's been, like, thrown at them on KenPom is that their defensive rating is so low, and teams with a rating that low don't make it. They don't, like, all the way. They don't win the national title. Lonzo Ball is amazing. Like, I just love that guy. I really think Ball personally was the best player I saw in college. You know, I mean, you can make a healthy debate about some other upperclassmen, but I love Ball. And for Cincinnati, man, you got Troy Copain matching up with Ball. They got some offense to match up, though, with Jacob Evans, Kyle Washington. Washington, though, is going to have a lot of trouble with TJ Leaf. I'll go with UCLA and Sacramento. I'm not super confident, but I do like UCLA a little bit more than Cincinnati. It will be a good game, though.
Okay, Logan?
Yeah, Alonzo Ball is one of those kind of players that can put his team on his back and take him a long way, so I'll pick UCLA.
Okay, and Providence has gone into the half with a 15-point lead, 44.
Holy smoke.
44 to 29. All right, here we go. Wichita State and Kentucky, the game that John Calipari did not want. He thinks he's being screwed.
He always thinks he's being screwed.
Well, he always thinks he's being screwed. That's true.
Yeah.
Logan, what do you think?
Well, weren't Wichita State screwed when Kentucky was their 8th seed in the tournament a couple years ago?
That is true.
So, I mean, it's really just payback.
Suck it!
I would love to see Wichita State upset Kentucky, but Kentucky's just got way more talent.
Wow. Okay. Reesh?
Yeah, I wish we would see the magic from the 2014 matchup, second round. It's like it might be the greatest round of 32 game I've ever seen, where they had Wichita undefeated against the Kentucky team that had the Harrison twins, Julius Randle. The problem here, though, is that, you know, you got Fox and Malik Monk, who are the backcourt for Kentucky. Bam Adebayo is unreliable. But the thing with Wichita State is they do have some size. They do have some big boys. I just don't know how good they really are against elite teams. That's the biggest problem for them. That was why the committee kind of devalued them, that they're out of conference was just not that good. They didn't beat a great team. So I'll go with Kentucky here. I can see Wichita State giving them a little bit of trouble, though. But I'll take a Kentucky win.
All right. So heading to the South Regionals, our first matchup, the number one seed, North Carolina, taking on the boys from Murfreesboro. You guys put them on a Cinderella run. Does it continue, Logan?
Nope, the clock strikes midnight.
Yeah, okay.
I think they finally run into a team that's way more talented than they are, and I just think UNC is probably one of the best, probably my favorite to win the whole thing.
All right. Reesh?
Yeah, I agree with Logan. I think North Carolina overwhelmed them. It's interesting, though, because if Middle Tennessee does get this far, it's in Memphis. Mm. So they got a little bit of home juice going.
Yeah. Right. I love this matchup. Love this matchup. UCLA and Kentucky, a lot of speed, a lot of up and down, a lot of points. Reesh?
We saw this on the Network of Stars, CBS. Am I right, Scott?
Bet your ass.
It was the primer for the SEC championship game.
Damn straight.
UCLA, you know, Ball did not play well against De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox sort of ate his lunch on defense, but UCLA still won the game because TJ Leaf destroyed Bam Adebayo and some of the other bigs. I think Derek Willis is the other one. He's sort of a defensive liability at times for Kentucky. They both like to go fast. You don't imagine Calipari's teams going fast, but this year he sort of bought into it because of the speed of Fox and Monk's ability to just go red hot shooting the ball. I've wavered between this. I've actually picked brackets where I've gone the other way to kind of out myself. So that's the most unsure I've been. But I'll go with the data, and I'll just say UCLA beats them again.
All right, Logan?
Yeah, I think UCLA beat them again. Hmm. I agree.
All right. And in a game with two teams who probably have a combined, like, 27 national championships, what a basketball game. I'd be happy if this was the national championship. The Bruins of UCLA, the Tar Heels of North Kakalaki. I don't know if of 10, UCLA's 10 in a row or 10 out of 11 or whatever. I don't know if they beat Carolina in any of them. I don't think they did.
You talk about UCLA?
I'm talking about the wooden run. I don't know if they beat Carolina in the championship in any of those games.
Oh, they had to have. I'm almost sure in one of the Lou Cinder years, I think they beat North Carolina.
Right, I'll have to look. All right, guys, this is a hell of a matchup. Who's going to the toaster, Logan?
I'm going to go North Carolina. I just think they're the more complete team, and I think that they can do what it takes to make it to the toaster.
All right, so you have Carolina moving on. Reesh, do you agree?
No, I got UCLA. I like the matchup between Lonzo Ball and Joel Berry, because Berry's more of like the prototypical really good college two guard, and Ball's the NBA style court vision guy that's kind of like likes to push it. So even though it's funny, North Carolina's like Roy Williams' thing is the secondary break where they play pretty fast, but they don't try to look for the first shot available. UCLA literally looks for the first shot available. They love to push it. You know, Bryce Alford's better than people think shooting the ball. The one problem for UCLA is that I don't think defensively they have a really good answer for Justin Jackson at the three. So that will be the biggest problem. It almost beat Kentucky when Kentucky had that awesome game in North Carolina last year. They didn't have no chance. They didn't have an answer for Jackson, but I'll go with UCLA because I just think that if North Carolina doesn't get out on their 3-point shooters, UCLA will have a field day with them.
All right. So you like Kakalaki
as Bruins.
Well? Oh, all right. Like, well, Mr. Greeny, look at this. You have to break the tie on both sides to go to Glendale. What do you think?
There's a lot of buzz for UCLA from a lot of people that they're going to go to the Final Four, and I'm going to take them too.
Steve Alford is going to go to Glendale. So there,
ain't the first time Alford's been in the Final Four, though.
That is true. So your 2000, at least here on Place to Be Nation, your 2017 Final Four is the Villanova Wildcats, the Arizona Wildcats, the Louisville Cardinals, and the UCLA Bruins. So, gentlemen, semifinal number one, Cats versus Cats. Logan, break it down.
I'll go Villanova. I think their experience in big games last year will prove to be what takes them ahead and takes them to the championship once again.
All right. Reesh, break it down.
I'll go with the Wildcats.
You would answer that.
Good pick.
I'll go with Villanova because they've been there. You know, I mean, the thing about Villanova and being the defending champion is, man, it's happened before. Duke did it in 91-92. Florida did it in 06-07. But, boy, that's a lot of pressure. I'm not trying to say that it's impossible to do. But, I mean, we've seen a lot of close calls. But, you know, I wonder if this version of Villanova with Hart and Jalen Brunson and Mikhail Bridges, all these guys we didn't mention that kind of constitute what makes them good, if they're kind of ready for that spotlight. We know that they've been there before. I just wonder if they can do it without Archie Diakno and Daniel Achefu. Arizona's in Glendale, you know, they got to have a huge contingency there. It would be a fascinating game. Defensively, they're both good, but I think Nova is a little bit better defensively than Arizona is. I worry a lot about Arizona defensively being able to figure out Lauri Markkanen. But if it comes down to a 3-point shooting contest, I like Villanova, so I'll just take them.
All right, so we have Villanova playing for the national championship. Incidentally, Reesh, you son of a bitch, you're absolutely right. Lou Alcindor's junior year in 1968. They beat North Carolina to win the national
championship. I had a feeling. I think it was the first time Dean Smith played for the national title.
And that was the year, of course,
or coach for the national title.
Yep, and that was the year that UCLA lost to Houston in the big game in the regular season in the
Game of the Century.
Game of the Century at the Astrodome when Elvin Hayes went off and Lou Alcindor played with a detached retina, I think.
Yeah, and rest in peace, Guy Lewis.
Yes, rest in peace, Guy Lewis. And then they played in the semifinals, and I think UCLA beat them by like 32 or something. All right, on the right side, Mr. Reesh, the Cardinals of Louisville, the Bruins of UCLA, I believe that's a rematch of the 1980 national championship won by maybe, can I get to his nickname, please?
I'm trying to get you beat on the sports trivia.
But I'll say his name better than you. Dr. Duncanstein and the Louisville Cardinals beat Kiki Vandeweghe. Played on that UCLA team. Actually, Purdue was on that team. Joe Barry Carroll, and I don't remember who the fourth team was. All right, Reese, you can fucking talk now. Louisville, UCLA. Who is playing Nova on Monday night?
Now you got me thinking about who that fourth team was in 1980. Because I'm now it's gonna bother me for the rest of the day.
Good.
That was my defense goal. Versus offense. Defense versus offense. Now, if you look at the coaches, you're like, okay, you got Rick Pitino and you got Steve Alford. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take Rick Pitino. But like we said, Rick Pitino's got it. You know, it's not like it's super duper like lock of the century. If Pitino's coaching the Final Four, he's lost before. So, you know, it's hard. I mean, I'll actually go the other way. This is sort of spits in the face of it because defense wins a lot of these things. But I'll just go with, you know, UCLA being able to pull this one out. I like the fact that they can push, you know, and maybe be able to run up the score a little bit on Louisville early. If that happens, Louisville will have a tough time coming back. They're a team that can make runs, but they really rely on their press. Their press is not as effective as it was in the years that they really went far. So I'll go out on a limb and say UCLA. I'm not super confident in it, but I'll just stick with it.
All right. So you like the Cardinals. Logan?
I'll go UCLA. I think their offense is just a little too powerful, and I think this will be about the time that Louisville's defense just isn't good enough for them to win just one more game.
Okay. Who'd you pick, Reish? You picked Louisville, right?
I picked UCLA.
Oh, you did pick UCLA. Okay, all right.
I just like their – I think offense in the Final Four, even – and I know you're in those really spacious things, but I'll tell you this. They always said that about Houston because they had that horrible Final Four in 2011 where no one could make a shot. And everyone's like, oh, Houston's a terrible venue for making shots. It's like Villanova and North Carolina, like, shot the fucking leather off the ball. And it was like, okay, well, that's a myth. That's just an excuse for – teams playing crappy on offense because they were poorly prepared. But I think UCLA is a team that's just right out the box, ready to go offensively.
All right. So, our national championship game on Monday night, April 3rd. I'll be probably watching Raw because it's the night after WrestleMania. No, actually, I'll flip back and forth. Logan, Villanova, UCLA. So, we don't have, as a matter of fact, I don't think we had one. Oh, wait. Nova's number one. Does Villanova repeat as national champions?
I think they do. I think they're just as good. Well, I think UCLA is a little better on offense, but I think what they have in offense, I think Villanova has a good enough defense to slow them down enough for their offense, which is also very good, to take the championship for a second year in a row.
Okay. Reish, are you going to put it in Greeny's hands, or are you going to give us a sweep?
No, it's a sweep. The defense wins here. The defense always kind of puts the squeeze in the second half of these games when it gets super-duper tight. It comes down to who can just make the clutch shots. I would side with Villanova more there. Man, Brad Woodling's having such a stiffy right now. Repeat champions are so hard, like I was saying, but man, it would be so sweet if they pulled it off. And that team is good enough to do it.
Reish, if you ever say Brad and Stiffy in the same sentence again, I am never allowing you on another podcast ever again, you stupid hillbilly. All right.
I thought that already happened.
All right, and who's the most outstanding player of the Final Four? Just as a bonus.
I'll go with Jalen Brunson because he'll be in a situation where, like, look at the line. You know, he would have to play against London Perentes, and then he would have to play in the Elite Eight against Grayson Allen, where he would outplay him. Then he plays Alonzo Trier in the Final Four, and then he would have to play against Lonzo Ball in the National Championship game. If he plays well and has great numbers, Brunson's going to be the MOP.
All right. Logan?
Yeah, I'll go with Brunson, too.
All right. So, there you go, guys. There is our 2017 NCAA Tournament Preview Special. Our Final Four, once again, Villanova, Arizona, Louisville, and UCLA. Our national championship is Villanova and UCLA. And we all think that Jay Wright will be cutting the nets down again after years of almost, guys.
Plenty of almosts
in Jay Wright's career. This guy's about to win his second straight national championship.
So did he like pop the cherry or get the monkey off his back, or what cliche are we going to use here for Jay Wright if he wins it a second time?
Greeny, should we ever allow him back on again? Now he's stiffies and cherries and what fucking podcast? What do you think this is?
Well, let me ask you a serious question.
If you say meat flaps, I'm hanging up on you.
After winning that championship, did that kind of like really like relieve it for Jay Wright? Like
I think so.
Like this now it's like Billy Donovan in 06. He won it all, and then that second time he had a better version of that team, and it was like, okay, now you can kind of relax, you can kind of like coach your way into it.
Sorry, I still contend that if Georgetown had beaten Ohio State, I think Georgetown would have beaten Florida in the national championship. That's just
okay.
My opinion.
Keep dreaming.
No, there's no doubt. Jeff Green. They would have had no answer for Jeff Green. I think they would have bottled up all that offense, and I think I think they would have won that game. But Mike Conley, yeah. I still wonder how Ohio State won. I don't know. I understand how they played D on Mike Conley.
They immediately got Roy Hibbert in foul trouble, and Mike Conley destroyed Jonathan Ball.
No, I'm talking about how Ohio State lost to Florida.
To Florida. Oh, Corey Brewer was awesome.
I love Corey. Corey Brewer was my favorite player on that team anyway.
Yeah.
And Greg Oden's overrated.
So. Awesome team. I mean, Villanova's knocking on that door. Like, you know, I was just listening to Mark Titus's show where they were talking about like the all-time best teams of the last like century, like or the like 17 years. Like, you know, the Duke team with Jay Williams and Shane Battier, and UConn when they had Ben Gordon and Emeka Okafor. I'm like, Villanova's knocking on that door if they get this far. Like, they would be one of the best of all time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. We will hear from all three of these gentlemen, Mr. Greenhouse, Mr. Reisch, and Mr. Crosland, on Wednesday night, March 29th, which is the Place to Be Nation's main event, WrestleMania Mega Preview. It'll be these three gentlemen, along with five other probably fine studs, and we will talk about everything. We'll talk about NXT TakeOver Orlando, we'll talk the Hall of Fame, and of course we will predict what happens on April 2nd at Camping World Stadium, a.k.a. the Citrus Bowl, for the 33rd edition of the Showcase of the Immortals. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Mr. Reisch, are you ever doing an NBA team podcast again, or is this computer thing just your reason of being lazy?
No, we have one coming up where we actually talk about the NBA prospects in the NCAA tournament.
Ah, excellent.
We literally go through all of them.
Excellent, you know? Excellent. Logan, it's been a pleasure. I'll have you on again, as always. Excellent job. Greeny, thank you for your research, development, and tie breaks. He had more than I thought. All right, for Logan Crosland, for Andrew Reisch, for Jason Greenhouse, I am Scott Criscolo. Enjoy the tournament. Go Cats and go Friars. Enjoy. Shut up, Reisch. Have you seen